Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number, well, we can't work out what episode number it is, but it's the podcast where we talk Stevenage Football Club and usually berate the players and the manager and everything else. I don't think we're going to be doing that tonight, Mark Hollis and Dean Thompson.
No, probably not. No. They haven't given us anything to
not yet
slate them for yet, have they? I'm sure they'll be.
Should we do it on Sunday?
We'll get there, yeah. We'll get there. But not tonight.
Then. Not tonight. Our two special guests this evening. Well, Dino Mamria. Could that be one of the reasons that we're not going to be berating the manager? Good evening, Dino.
How are we doing, guys?
And also Alex Tunbridge, who's the chief executive of the football club these days. Welcome back to Stevenage.
Thank you very much.
Where do we start? It's Dino. I suppose we've got to start with you, really.
Well, I think these two. oh, that one. I think these two, to start with, should give us a little 2-minute synopsis of where they've been for the last 3 or 4 years. You know?
Just my holidays? Or?
Well, no. Obviously, I mean, some people, Alex, only know...
I can't even remember the last 3 hours.
Only no, know you news. As the bloke that used to pump off to Africa flight. Once a year with a load of volunteers. So, you know, where have you been and what you've been doing?
I'll let the main man go first.
Well, you know what I've done.
South End away.
I haven't gone far from you. I've been around here. You see me probably every day. So
South End away was the last time, wasn't it? And then you disappeared for a bit.
South End away. That was a surprise to me. You know, you get told after the game you no longer belong to the club. It was a shock, especially after doing a good job. Then you get reality, you know, life after Stevenage. I went out there, I grafted, got as qualified as I can, took difficult jobs, succeeded, tested myself in different environment, and I came back stronger and better to the football club that I love the most.
Good answer. When you say Southend there, you heard after the game, was that genuinely the first time you knew that you
true,
were...
True, yeah. I remember sat across the table from Graham Wesley and he told me that that's it, we're done. I didn't get it. But to be fair to Graham, he knew 3 months before. And fair play to him, because to keep that from the closest people to him, and that's me and some of the other staff, it must have been very difficult for him. And to keep doing what he's doing and, you know, to get to the playoff... it's a credit to himself, really. But yeah, I was really shocked. I didn't hear anything about it. I didn't know anything about it until after that game. So sometimes when you're not doing a good job, you expect to be sacked. Sometimes, especially in the business we're in, I didn't expect it then because I thought that's probably our toughest season ever in terms of the turnover of players and what we achieved that season. We didn't get to the final, but to get top fifth finish and to reach the playoff and to lose Southend, the manner we lost with as well, we ran out of players almost with the injury we've had, and it was a messed up team where we end up, and Tom Pett scored the 70th minute. It would have been unbelievable to get to Wembley, but I thought we worked very hard that season to get to where we got to, and to get told after the game that your service no longer there is it really hurt, especially to a club like Stevenage, because you know, I played for the club, I worked every level at the football club. I live here, that doesn't give me a lot, but it gives me, I care about the club. I think to get told that way was tough to take, but you get on with life. You got to be professional and you move on and you get the next job and prove people what you're about.
Hasn't been easy either, because like you say, you live in Stevenage, but the jobs you've taken, what, Southport, there's been Nuneaton and
Newport,
of course. So you've always stayed here.
Yeah, I think I moved here, I think, since 2010. 11, and I had took 3-4 jobs away from here. Preston was, I was still doing the travel. I think when you get to coaching and management, you can't keep moving the family around. I'm rooted here now, my kids are here, my kids are happy at school here, I'm happy here, and you know, it's the business we're in, you don't know how long it'll be in a job. So I've traveled, the travel never bothered me. The only time it bothered me really was Southport, because it was difficult. My little girl, she was just born, and my wife and her own having difficulties and all the rest of it. So that's the only time where I decided, I thought I couldn't do the job, and I left after 3 months. But what a fantastic time it was, and we achieved unbelievable things at Southport. When I took the club, they were bottom of the league, and I left and they were eighth. So in space of 3 months. But I felt at the time that was a step too far for me, because my family always come first. So The other jobs I took, they were difficult jobs, all of them. But like I said, the travel is part of the job these days.
Talking of difficult jobs, Alex, you went to Newport, who were struggling when you went there, and both on and off the pitch. How long were you there for? 18 months?
Yeah. 18 months. So I swapped the beaches of Clearwater and Tampa for the muddy rivers of Newport for this man next to me and Graham as well. Joined in January, they were rock bottom.
We were rock bottom when we left, I think.
Yeah, walked into two members of staff, team bottom of the Football League, they part company with these guys, and which was quite difficult, especially as they were the ones that brought me in. And Flynn, he got put in charge, Michael Flynn, and just something clicked, and they went an amazing run, and win after win after win, and all of a sudden that gap of 11 points get closed to almost one. We knew we had to draw a win on the last day of the season. Hartlepool played Doncaster, who needed to win the league, so we almost thought job was there and done. Hartlepool won, we were drawing 1-1, 1 minute to go, ball comes in the box, falls to the centre back, who can't hit a barn door, and he buries it. And 7,500 people go crazy.
That was the one outside, by the way.
Yeah,
that was the one outside.
Take full credit for that.
Yeah, that was Michael Bryan, because I've had him myself for. And I recommended him to Graham, and we put him, and he ended up the hero of Newport.
Yeah, and then we just reset in the summer, looked at ourselves, decided what we needed to change, bought in a few people, added to the squad, and last year was pretty crazy, to be honest.
I was going to say, it was kind of reminiscent to some of the Stevenage years it must have been, because you ended up going to Wembley with
against
Spurs.
Well, we actually did quite well in the League Cup. We played Leeds away. We lost 5-1, but had 15 shots and played off the pitch. Then we got the FA Cup run. We beat Walsall, we beat Cambridge, we beat Leeds. It should have been Spurs, undoubtedly, which was an unbelievable experience. We had 10,000 there. And we took them to replay at Wembley and lost 2-0. So, unbelievable experience, great people. In many ways, probably a bigger club than Stevenage in terms of their fan base and the type of club it is. But when you get the call to maybe come home and work.
I think these guys in Newport went through. I'm thinking Alex is Stevenage went through. But the more I'm listening to him, I'm like, he's amber and black, isn't he?
I'm converted. Half and half curry and chips now.
Bob Sage has got a shirt that'll fit you, actually. Half
Newport, half Stevenage.
Alex is covered in curry and chips.
And real ale, of course. So what was the draw that got you back to Stevenage?
I think, I followed the club since I was 10 years old, home and away, so having stood in those terraces, to go through the journey a bit. I joined the club in 2009, before going to League 2, League 1.
Perfect stadium doors.
And then to see it go to where it got to, and then maybe to pause maybe in the last few years. I think, when the conversation's there to say, right, let's come back, let's hit the reset button, and let's really take the club forward with a lot of like-minded individuals, people who've worked at the club before, the likes of Ash and Jace and Dino. I think that's a big draw. I think trying to reveal its potential. I think probably everyone around the table knows we've only sort of scratched the surface, and there's no reason why it can't be an established League One club. Crowds of 4,000 or 5,000. So that's the challenge. I think also as well failure. I think quite often failure is a big driver in life, and I can't fail at this job, just like the man over here can't fail. We both care about it so much that we have to succeed and we have to make it successful.
Well, we'll come back in a bit to see what you're going to do to take it forward. Dino, where are we at the moment? How are you feeling? We're just a few days away from kickoff.
We're in a fantastic place. I think the chairman has been brilliant in terms of backing me to bring me the players I need to bring in. A lot of changes, 14, 15 new players, I think.
Steve's done a list.
Yeah, he's been busy, hasn't he? So, I think right now we're in a great place. We have a good pre-season. I think we're ready. Probably the trickiest part of this job this time is how quickly we gel as a team. But I think there is no question about the quality we've got, and there is no question we're going to have a great season.
Out of a squad of 24, I have got 14 changes. So it's 14 new players come in. How much of a challenge is that, getting them in? And not just getting them in, but...
In all honesty, when I took the job, I watched Stevenage a couple of times. Not watched it because I was obviously I had a different job. But on Tuesday night, if I remember, Swindon, I'm doing nothing on Tuesday night, so I come over to go to watch it. And another time, I came with my little boy Leo. We were playing an elite game called off. I think I didn't really think things were that bad until I took over. When I took over in March, and I was actually genuinely, I didn't think I'm going to make that many changes. But then you're working with the players, I inherited it day in, day out, and realised that, you know, we're nowhere near winning. And actually, I was we've done very well to win the games that we won, to stay in League Two, in all honesty. And then you know, you look at it, you do a lot of listening, you do a lot of observing, a lot of watching, and there wasn't a lot of winning there. And I've just realised 6 weeks gave me enough time. I think the chairman was very clever in terms of bringing me that time to see it. He wasn't convinced, obviously. The club was 23rd in the form table from the 28 games previous to that. From end of October, I think, in the form table, they were 23rd. So if they didn't have a good start last season, they would have been rock bottom. And that's what probably is always masking me. When I took over, they were 17, I think. And we're still 10 points from the bottom, but it was really almost like false position, because when you turn 23rd over 28 games, you are rock bottom, aren't you? I think only Chesterfield had the worst record than us. And I think some of those players didn't realise how bad it was until I put across them in a PowerPoint presentation, actually. I told them where we are. They need to realise that, you know what, we've got 2-3 games coming up, and if we don't pick wins in those games, we could be rock bottom ourselves. One of them was Barnet. The other one was Newport, and the other one was Grimsby Way. Those three games were huge, and we managed to pick results in those games, thankfully, because you know, you look at the end of the season, how bad the run they went to. Even Chesterfield won a few games, we would have been really in trouble. So coming back to it, I think the changes were needed, and I think the chairman realised that as well. It wasn't something I planned from day one. Like I said, when I assessed it, I had a look, I knew what it takes to win football matches, and certainly we weren't at the level of to win football matches to compete, to survive, never mind compete at this level. So that's why they made the changes.
There's a couple of names I'm looking at there that you moved really quickly to get. Luther is one.
James Ball.
Yeah, and Bawley was the second one, but you, obviously that's a big jump for Luther from Nuneaton. Are we going to see a lot of him this season?
Luther, you're going to see a lot of him. I think Luther is a fantastic athlete. He's what you need in a team. He's a very good defender. He's very good with the ball going forward, and he run all day. And he's 6'2". He's a typical Stevenage player. He's actually the new version of Stevenage players, because he's technically very good as well. So. And he's been great pre-season. I think Luther will play. I think he'll go on in the game as well. I think we'll do well to keep hold of him at the club. We've got to move with him, hopefully.
And then Bawley, obviously, you saw play against you, didn't you, that season?
Well, James Ball, I think the chairman and Leon rang me sometimes in December, even before that. I think they're asking me, they're looking for a centre midfielder, box-to-box midfielder. Have you seen any? Obviously, my loyalty has always been with Stevenage. I've told them I've seen this boy, James Ball, at Stockport. I'm not sure whether I invited him for a trial in January, but their club, this is Stockport County, they don't need, and himself, he didn't want to come in. He's better than coming for a trial. So the deal ended up not happening. But yeah, I knew what James Ball was capable of.
And I said to you a few weeks ago, we haven't had a player like him since Dean Parrott. And you said he'll be better than Dean Parrott.
I think so. I think he's hungry, he's humble, he's the first one training ground, last one training ground. He got all attribute to be a top player.
I think we've already seen 45 minutes of him, haven't we? And
he scored, yeah.
He got a goal in that.
Yeah.
And that seemed to mirror a lot of the goals that we've seen on YouTube from him. From the edge of the box.
Yeah, you've seen him, he's attacking midfielder, box to box. He can do everything in the game. He's technically good, he can tackle, he can head, and he can play technically very good, like I said. And he got an eye for goal. He scored 12, 13 goals from Stockport from midfield last season. And the season before, scored more goals, so he's been scoring goals throughout his career. So he got a good pedigree. He came from Bolton Academy. We're giving him a platform here to perform at his best and hopefully go on in the game as well.
Midfield's looking good though. Brought Byram in, Joel. returns.
Yeah, I've got a jaw to say,
Timlin
to please Steve.
We like Timlin. We like Timlin.
We all like Timlin. I think our midfield is good. I think the concern was having two players over 30 in that position there. But we got some young lads there to complement those two experienced Timlin and Joel Byrum.
And Donovan came this week, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's been around for a little while, hasn't he? You had a good look at him because you obviously weren't sure to keep him on trial for so long, or were you always pretty certain you were going to sign him?
I think I was sure, and then I wasn't sure, and then I was sure, because I had to think for the football club. I think he's not going to be make immediate impact, Donovan. He's not going to start in my starting 11. He's not going to, if I'm looking to win a game tomorrow, Donovan won't be in that starting 11. But part of me thinking of the future of the football club, I thought I didn't want to miss out on a player with a huge potential. That's where I think the decision was coming from. And then I decided, I think what's for the good of the football club, even if I move on, I want to leave the football club some assets, and I think Donovan is definitely an asset for the football club.
Do you use that when you sign in somebody like Donovan? I mean, do you actually sit there and say that to him and say to him, you know, you've got to go out and earn the shirt?
Yeah, of course. I think when you sign a player, you got to tell them how you're going to make them better players. I think that's the first buy-in. You've got to make them feel important. All players want to feel important, and you want to add value to what they already got. Yeah. That's what you do, and you've got to be confident in yourself as a manager that you can do that, you can deliver, because you can't promise without delivering. So and you know, Donovan and one or two others bought into that, and I'm sure I'll make them better players.
And of that list 24, you look as well, and there's a few players missing off the list who you haven't given numbers to. What's the story with those?
Well, there is no story, really. I think Johnny Goddard, Jonathan Smith and Joe Martin, I think they, I've told them from last game of the end of back season, the end of the last season, that, you know, they are good players in their own right. They're just not my type of players. And the best thing for us to move on, really. I'm recruited to players that I want to play, different players from them. And the door is still open for them, and we're trying to move them out now, and they're trying to get a move as well.
They've got, presumably, until the end of the transfer window.
I'm hoping something will happen before transfer window. Their position is clear in the football club. They're treated by respect. They're joining the first team. They're professional. And like I said, I think respect is the most important thing, and it's just an opinion. They understand that it happens in football all the time, and we've all been told that. One stage or another, that they're no longer required your services, and that's what has got told to them. But we treat them with respect. We do everything properly and above board, and that's how it goes sometimes.
What happens in that case if they don't find clubs? Is there a way back? If there a way back from into the team potentially? That it's not a.
No, I'm not banned them from the team. If they can't get away another club, then they can't get another club.
Is there a chance they could play their way?
Well, the chance is I have to have a huge injury list for one of those three players to play. And, you know, the door is always, if they are Stevenage players at the end of the day, and if I need them, I have to need them. I need them. But right now, with the amount of recruitment we've done, I'm trying to keep 22 players, and that's my squad for the season. If we get, touch wood, we don't get that many injuries, and then I have to play one or two, then I have to.
Okay, any more to add to that list?
I don't think so. I think we're still looking for probably a second choice keeper. That's not finalised yet. Hopefully something will happen this week with that. Apart from that, there is nothing else unless one of the young lads probably will go out on loan and we look to add something. But I'm happy with the squad I've got.
Because you don't like taking loan players in, do you? What's your reasoning behind that?
No, because I can't control them. They, you know, if you're trying to create an environment with unity, togetherness and all that, I think loan players, my experience, is they most of them, selfish players, they turn up to do what they're supposed to do to enhance their own career, not for the football club. And the environment I'm trying to create is about togetherness, is about going to a journey together. And I don't think a lot of players would fit into that.
I've been saying that for years, haven't I? finally, we've got someone that thinks the same as me.
All right, concerning on another.
I'll put a name to you, Luke Amos.
Oh, yeah, but that was different. He was different.
No, actually, Luke Amos, I've said it, probably that's why you're asking me the question. I think Luke Amos is, I worked for him for the short period. He was a fantastic kid. He actually cared about Stevenage. He lives in Dunstable. I think he's Dunstable, not far from here. He was a great kid, and I won't hesitate to take him back, Luke Amos, because he actually cared about the team. And every now and then, that's why I say it's not all of them, every now and then you get the right one. We had Luke Freeman before. We end up signing permanent. Every now and then, but not often, and the amount of loan signing we wasted money on is huge.
There's some stinkers.
So to see the percentage of that, I think success rate is probably 1%. So why would you take that risk?
A lot of clubs are going for it, though. I've been reading through. There's a lot of clubs in this league taking loan players.
I think it depends what environment you're trying to set. I'm trying to set a culture at the football club. We are Stevenage, you know. We know what we stand for. We everyone buy into it. Mm. And that's what we've got to be, Stevenage. We've got to appreciate what we are. We are a different club. People from outside of here, they always call us a non-league club. That's the reality of it. Mm. And we always stand to adversity. We need everyone to pull together to stand up to us, you know, and to be counted, like Alex just says there. I think being established League One club pushing off a promotion championship is not impossible.
And that must help you out in having that base of players and being, it sounds a bit corny, but being part of a community. It makes it easier for you off the pitch as well, doesn't it?
So I was really fortunate when I ran the foundation when Graham and Dino were before. We are a very settled group of players who understand the football club, they understand the principles, the values, the town, how things work, how the landscape is, and they bought into the mindset of the club. They'd go out to the community, there was never any questions, if, buts, maybes, it was yes, we'll do it. And I think what Dino's building this season is that similar kind of mindset, which I think allows us as a club to go out, market, engage, get the players out to the community, maybe do a few things we've never done before, and to have that CEO is fantastic.
Saturday was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. We got to live who we are. I think, you know, you don't criticise the club, try to go a different direction before and move away from the Stevenage stigma. I think we got to enhance that and got to appreciate it, and we got to play it up, if that makes sense. Mm. And I think, you know, we are where we are. We are that non-league club that tried to get promoted in 95. We won the league, but we didn't go up because of the stadium. And then we bounced back 15 years later with a promotion, and we end up at the verge of the championship, and people thinking little old Stevenage, you know. Mm. I think that's what drives me, definitely. I've been out there, away from Stevenage, and people belittle Stevenage, little old Stevenage, and that's definitely one of my drive. And my drive is the people of Stevenage and make them proud, and you know, will be properly in the map, and at least in the football map.
And one thing for you, Al, we have to deal with things off the pitch as well. We've probably got the hardest bench in the league, haven't we? So you'll probably have some things to deal with, disciplinary-wise, you know. Goodliff, Ashton, Mamrea. Locking horns with Kevin Nolan.
There's some passion on that bench.
Hey?
There's some boys.
Mickey Mellon.
There's some boys there that I wouldn't want to mess with.
What have you got tomorrow afternoon, Dino?
We got an FA tomorrow. Yeah. No, I think we're all done wiser now. I think
older and wiser. There we have it.
I think we. Of course, I.
Yeah, but Ash was never nasty, was he?
No.
He would just pick you up and throw you.
I think those people care about Stevenage. They understand the value of Stevenage, and what Alex is saying is exactly right. You know, it's almost, you know, the club I came back to, it was different from the one I left, without a shadow of a doubt. And that's why I felt, and that's why Alex is here, actually. And it's not going back to the past. It's almost going back to what we do best and what we did best before we were together as a club. We understand the value of Stevenage, we understand, and that's how we're successful. And sometimes that's what successful is. And you've got to understand yourself to be successful. And I think that's what Alex is here today, and that's why I'm here. And I'm sure the club will take a brilliant journey going forward.
Not thought about changing the dugouts around again?
No, I've never thought about changing the guard. I think I changed a few things in the dressing room. In the tunnel area, we're trying to do something different. It's just smarting our ground up a little bit. Our training ground is fantastic. We're trying to improve that. The chairman has been brilliant in terms of trying to make those changes. And we just want to make the club a better place for family to visit, and hopefully we get 4,000 or 5,000 a month. Starting this week, I'm urging everybody to come in. It's going to be a fantastic day for us. Brilliant start. If we have a great start, you never know what happens in the season.
You put a lot into that, don't you? Because you must be a nightmare to live with. I remember the first presser that we did at Bradbury End when you took us into the office and then into the the stats room or whatever you called it, where we actually do the interviews. And you just going round saying, What's this? Look at the state of this. Look at this. And you wanted to move everything, and I'm going to paint this over the week, over the summer.
Well, it was a mess. I think it was a mess. And without disrespecting anybody, as you've seen yourself, Steve, and I think you need a clear environment, clean and clear environment to think right, to think straight. And yeah, it was, you know, it was clutter everywhere. It was, you know, without going too negative about the what happened in the past and all the rest of it, but it was obvious why I was also going, not just on and off the pitch as well, lack of discipline everywhere. Lack of discipline could be from a player leaving a bottle out, half a bottle out, through, instead of going to the bin, just on the grass there. We worked very hard, and I was one of the people who worked very hard to make that training ground as it is, you know. And that's achieved that by people putting their bodies on the line, like John Ashton. And we almost like, we feel that's part of our house, you know, and we've got to care for it, and we've got to look after it like it's our own home.
Do the players respect that?
I think that's the first thing I said to them this pre-season when I came back with new group players. I said, I care about this place as much as my home. I want to make sure always clean. We spend a lot of money on it, painting it, changing everything there. We're making it a better place. We're proud of that, and new players coming in, and part of a lot of players we signed there, they come into that environment, they think, yeah, this is a great place to be, and I think that's how it should be.
And I think we've taken those principles, not just from the training ground, but the stadium. Mm-hmm. So for the last few weeks we've been walking the stadium. What do you see as a fan? Do you see an old sign that's 10 years out of date? If you do, let's get it down.
Yeah.
Are the weeds outside the turnstiles? Are the ticket prices right? All those kind of details, so that when you come to the club, we're ready for business, we give the people the best experience, and we show off what we are.
And your team was about to change, wasn't it, off the pitch, and now it's not. And so you with Dan, your media manager, you're gonna be sort of building a team off the pitch as well, aren't you?
Are you staying now, is he Dan?
Yeah, Dan's staying. So I think I think any good football club has got a great group of backroom staff that supports the first team, and they probably do the stuff that you'd never see or you'd never know about. And I think we're in the process of looking at how things are being run, tweaking a few things, enhancing the good things, and over the course of the next couple of years, I think we'll be looking to certainly match a League One championship outfit off the field. So when we get it right on the pitch, we're ready to go hand in hand. I think the club it bounced from the Conference into League Two, into League One very, very quickly. And I think it takes time for certain things to catch up. Where you can change things on the pitch very quickly sometimes, I think it takes a long time to get things right off the field.
It would be easy for me, Alex, to sit here and say it's going to take years and years. It's brilliant to see Alex. He's a young man, and he's putting that responsibility. I love that. I love working with people like that, driven, passionate, and he says he's going to make things happen. That's what drives me, and he inspires me. Just listen to him. And it's a responsibility. It could be easy for me to say, well, I'm changing the team. I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to make sure that next season will be fantastic.
He has this knack of getting people to do things for him.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants to do. He's got me doing stuff over the years that no other person on this planet could do. Even my ex-wife couldn't get me to do. He took me to Africa, for God's sake.
Well, he even moved in with
me. He did move in with me for a little while. Yeah. There, we don't talk about his homeless stage, though. But he just has this ability to get people working for him. And you've just had that natural enthusiasm that nobody could not be won over by you. You can tell how people are feeling, can't you, Steve, with the amount of new threads on Borough Chat at the moment. Nothing's happening. Everybody's happy. Everybody enjoyed Saturday's little session. I had six people message me Saturday, Sunday, go, that was the best one ever.
It was fantastic Saturday. I think it was credit to everybody, the community boys, Joe, and the girls there, and some of the guys there. They were fantastic. Our players, I've told them today in my meeting with them, I'm proud of them, the way they conducted themselves. They mingled with the fans. The fans loved it. Mm. And that's what Steven is about. Mm. And we'll do more of that. Anyway, this is becoming too serious here. let's get to the bottom of this.
We're having some questions. 7 minutes to the watershed, Dina.
Tell you what, if you want to lighten it up, let's hand over to Hollis then, because I believe you've got a game for us.
I've got a game. It's an old game, it's an old classic.
Oh dear. This really puts you on the spot, Dino.
I made a mistake with this once. We had a manager on here once, and I said, we're going to play a game, and he said, you mean you're going to ask me if I'd like to play a game?
guess the manager.
And I said, no, we're playing a game. So we are playing a game, and it's called Steve and Dean and Dino. Guess the team from a game what happened years ago.
Yep.
Can you partner up with Dino then?
I'll need his help.
I'll partner up with Alex.
This is like
I've commented over you, Steve. I've bailed you out many times in game.
Yeah, right. Excellent.
This is a long time.
We're just going with Dino, Alex and Steve, or we're gonna have team names.
Dino and Dino.
Yeah. And two Dinos.
And Steve and Alex.
Right, the game in question was on Friday the 6th of May 2005. Away at Hereford United, playoff semi-final, second leg.
One of them played in that. That's not fair.
We were all
so
there.
We have to guess the team.
Basically, skived off school to go.
What we did right? So we were all there. All five of us were there. So basically, the game is: I'm going to give Steve and Alex the first choice, as neither of them played. You put. So we go with first 11 and bench. So you've got 16 names to choose from.
Oh, right.
You can't choose anyone that's in the room.
You place a bet of how many of that 16 you think you can name.
Oh, yeah, we've got a bet.
And then the two Dinos will say...
Eight.
The two Dinos will
say... Just for the sake of the microphone.
So remember, you can't include Dino. We all know Dino played. So that one. So there's 15 to choose from. So it's...
Okay.
However many more than that you can get. Because if you didn't get Dino, you'd have been disqualified anyway.
Just shout them out? Or?
No, you have to bet. Your number, you place your bet, and then these guys will
we'll
say
whether we can beat better it.
Eight on top of Dino.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you name nine?
I can name nine.
He'll know the whole team at the bet.
Are you going to go for 10?
Yeah.
You got 15 names to choose.
Did you commentate?
From.
I'm not very good at these.
Did you commentate?
Ow. He's dreadful.
He's absolutely appalling.
I did actually, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can do this. 10.
Do you think you can do 10 of the 15 on top of Dino? Do you guys want to go 11 or do you want to let them have a go?
I go 11.
Wowee.
Go on, Steve. You can do it.
Go on.
Come on, we do better than that.
Name 11.
You do better than that. I've got more. If you go more, I don't.
He can name players that didn't even play.
What we'll do, you
name.
Why
move for, Alex?
Yeah,
you name your
11. I'll say 12, and he'll say, go on then.
Yeah, sure.
You name your 11 then, and then.
Are we not? They'll finish this, you're thinking, aren't they?
You're more than welcome to go 12 if you want to give it a go.
Yeah, but you might get the first one wrong. They might have been injured.
No, I know all of them. So
you think you could get all 16?
I think so, but I'll wait for these two guys.
Yeah, of course. Alright, well. It's
okay.
On you then, Dino.
Alright.
What is it for? I'm not just going to...
It's for a flat white laced with cider.
That was very tasty.
Yes, folks, we've given Dino his first drop of alcohol.
Alan Julian was in goal.
Mickey Warner.
Correct.
Barry Laker.
Correct.
Justin Gregory.
Correct.
Jason Goodliff.
Correct.
Five. Leave the other defender.
Oh,
right.
A bit of a pause there. Maybe he's not as confident as he thought.
Danny Bullman.
Correct.
Of course he was. Six.
Myself.
Correct.
Six.
Anthony Yeldon.
You can't use
correct.
Yourself.
Seven. No, I didn't count
him.
Darren Stamp.
Correct.
Eight.
Still get nightmares of Darren Stamp.
George Boyd.
George Boyd is on the bench, but he counts.
Yeah. Nine.
Yeah.
John Nurse.
He was on the bench, but it counts.
Ten.
Rob Quinn. He
was on the bench.
11. Well, we've done what? We've just show off now.
Yeah, well, let's find out a bit more.
Rob Quinn, was it?
He's on the bench. He
on the bench.
Didn't come on, though.
Yeah, they said Baralake, yes.
Yeah.
It was me, Bullman in Middle Park, Anthony Eldin, Darren Stamm.
Who was wide then?
John Nurse came on late on.
J John Nurse came on.
Yeah, we played two left backs, I think. We played Justin Gregory and Mike Laker.
Of course we did.
Yeah, of course we did. Neither of them played at left back.
Anyway, we won the bet. I think the ones I left out, Michael Brough was on the bench.
No, he wasn't.
Not Michael Brough was injured. Matt Hocking?
Matt Hocking was on the bench.
John Brady played.
John Brady
put the ball on your head, didn't he?
No, the corner. He put my ball in the head here at home. But there it was Anthony Elliott's corner. That's more or less everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody.
Sub-keeper.
Gorey?
No.
Gregus?
No. Dino? Steve?
Wilkins?
No.
No. West Just head. hold on.
Mark Westhead.
Mark Westy, right? Yeah. Right.
Well done.
Good round. Well done, I won that game.
Well done, Dino.
You did realise that Graham really struggled. He went for about five. And just scraped through. Yeah.
And we won 1-0. Can you remember who got the goal?
Just about.
Cool. Hit someone on the head, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ricochet.
He was just looking over his shoulder, off his back.
He was having a go at the ref about something. That was one of the best mentors I can remember in the stand.
Yeah. We were under a lot of pressure that first half.
It went absolutely wild in that stand.
We were under pressure that first half and we scored the right time and then we breezed through it. I think we finished the game comfortably at the end.
Yeah, great.
And then we won't talk about the final.
The final's terrible. I blame Graham Westley still, do you?
Does he know that?
I think he does know.
He doesn't know.
Because he will listen, you know.
I remember you walking to the ground. I think
Graham learned a lot from that. Learned so much. Because I remember the day before, he was asking us the players, what shall we do? Shall we go on the day? Shall we treat them a different game? Shall we go to the hotel? And obviously it's easy for me to say now, but at the time I was like going mad, thinking, it's not another game. This is like playing a final. You can't treat another game. We should be over. Overnight stay. Stoke is a long way from here. I know because I was a northern boy, but I remember the older boys, married lads, they want to treat as a normal game. They want to stay at home, and we end up having pre-match at Warwick somewhere, still miles away from Stoke. We got there 7:30 kickoff, I think, and we have to actually run to the ground, get change on the coach, and run to the ground, warm up about 10 minutes to. We conceded the 14th minute. I remember. And I'm thinking, seriously, it's the biggest game of our lives as a football club, and our preparation was horrendous, and that's what cost us really, because we should have never lost that. We had some great players at the time, and
he was very superstitious, wasn't he, back in the day, about the hotels and where you stayed and previous games that you'd stayed at that hotel, and we can't stay there again. Are you like that?
No, not superstition. I think you know that things work well for you. And things that work well for the players, you tend to go with.
You don't have a pair of lucky pants then?
No, I'm actually not superstitious at all.
No?
No, not at all. It's just a distraction, isn't it? I was for about a year or so when I was a player, and then I thought, what's all this about? You know, you just cut it off. Yeah, it is pointless, totally pointless. I think you've got to focus on what you're supposed to be doing. But no, the hotels and all that, I think it's what works for the players is the most important thing. And sometimes things don't work for players, and sometimes things work for players. And that's we got that spot on back after a year after that. I think we learned a lot from that. And every game is different, and you've got to treat them. You can't treat them just normal games. Some games are bigger than others, unfortunately.
Hmm. Who did you blame, Mark?
A toss up. And number one is Mickey Warner. You don't miss that, do you? You don't miss that shot. Yeah. But
if you're a left back.
But he is a fullback and he'd have had a nosebleed. I think I blame more Darren Stamp being through one on one for the keeper and shooting from about 25 yards rather than running it.
Yeah, because he can't run.
Running it a goal because he knew he was going to get caught. The centre back was on the halfway line and he was 25 yards out.
What did you say to him?
I actually blame John Brady because he cost us the goal. He let his man for the header.
But he did send me his shirt in the post. So
I blame everyone. I was rubbish on the day. I think we all, our preparation was terrible. I blame our preparation.
Our preparation went down on the way. Remember that?
Is the fans' coach as well broke down?
Yep. Yeah, supporters association coach never went back on another one after that.
Yeah, Carlisle got there the day before. They trained on the pitch the day before. They've done it properly. Mm-hmm. We didn't. We learned a lot from it. We learned a lot. It was, you heard, because, you know, it could have been fantastic to get promoted with the football club as a player, because nothing would beat that.
But then for 10 years, nobody had more fun than us.
That's true, that's true.
With you, then Stimmo, then you guys again.
I think that's what Stephen's been used to. I think, as long as I remember Stephen, it was good times, really, even before our time, from the 95. It's only a couple of hiccups Stephen's had in the history of Stephen, really.
Yeah.
They've been promoted from all the leagues. You know, the conference winning side in 95, the Newcastle game put us on the map. And trying to do something like that in the dressing room, like almost like a timeline in the dressing room where the history of Stevenage.
Yeah, I think, like you said earlier, I think there's been a few years where we've sort of forgotten who we are. And like you say, it hasn't always necessarily been success, but it has always been a laugh. And for me, the last few years haven't been a laugh.
Well, I think sometimes the club try to, when, you know, you understand, become stale and you try to change things. I think that's what the club tried to do a couple of times, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't work out. And at least you realise sometimes what works and what doesn't work, and, you know, almost like back to basic and back to what we did.
It feels to me like you said the sort of things I wanted you to say tonight. You know, for that few years, it feels like we tried to be like everyone else. And like you said tonight, I don't think we are like everyone else.
No, definitely not.
I don't think we are, and I think what you said tonight is right. I think we should be embracing that and using that as something and be proud of the fact that we're different
from everyone else. I think that's the best way forward.
And I'm really pleased that you guys have said that tonight.
Something you'd agree with, Alex? Because that is a criticism that I've heard many times, is that we've kind of forgotten where we were, and we've had, you know, I won't name them, but managers that didn't want to talk about the first Newcastle game, and, you know, that's all in the past. We've got to talk about it now. But there is a history there, and people keep saying Stevenage is a club without history. There is history,
yeah.
And we're building it, and we still need to make sure that that's all remembered.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of it, but it's important that we do.
It goes down to that whole, we had to grow up very quickly. And I think when you have to grow up very, very quickly, you instantly look around at other clubs to see what they're doing, because you think that's the way to do it. And it is in some ways it's not. And I think it's now about saying, right, well, these are the key things you have to do, but actually you can do things slightly differently. You can be brave. Saturday we're going to do a few different things. We've got brand new kids zone going in. We've got Buskers Corner about to launch. We have live buskers at the ground up when you get your tickets.
Yeah, might come back.
And we're about to launch something really big in the next couple of weeks with the club that's probably no other football club's done before, and people will probably turn their heads and think we're crazy, but, you know, we're fairly confident in what we're about to go and do.
You can't say that and then not drop a teaser.
Even I don't know.
Because you tell everyone.
Does that tell everyone? Yeah.
By the time we've taken to edit this,
he'll put it out first. Yeah.
that phrase, match experience, keeps cropping up, and I've heard people saying, well, you know, I just want to turn up to a football match and go home. Some people do. Some people want to turn
up. One of your esteemed colleagues actually said that after
Want to turn up at 12 o'clock, have a beer, and, you know, whatever. What plans have we got to try and
push it? I think the hardest thing is, you know, Dino and the boys, they do their stuff for a week and they can come out the pitch and 1 minute in, bad referee decision, down to 10 men, and the game's gone. So for us, we have to make sure that whenever you turn up to a game, you leave, regardless of the result, which we always hope is positive, you've had a great time. So whether that's being in the bar, watching the football, having a laugh, having a joke, engaging with the players, getting autographs, getting a beer at half time, all these things, they add to that match day experience. I mean, you can micromanage it and you can say, well, it's all about how you buy a ticket, when do we open the club shop, why don't we open the club shop past 5 o'clock, so you can come when you're at work. It's little things like this, all about the experience. You know, what do we do with the kids, what do we do with the schools, what do we do to tell the people at Stevenage that actually we've got game Saturday? What do we do? At the minute, we probably just do the same things we've done for the last 20 years. Can we be different? How do we talk to people? Do we just preach to the converted? So all these things that, you know, we're starting to look at and say, well, actually, we could do it differently. I think the matchday experience is key. I think the new North Stand is going to drastically improve that side of things.
All right, you've said it. When?
When?
Yep.
This season.
What is the latest on that?
So the latest is there's a substation behind the goal which is it needs to be moved. They'd hope to encase it in a 3x3 secure sort of concrete wall. It's going to have to be moved. There's an application coming to move it. As you appreciate, turning the power off is going to affect things. It's going to affect the club. It's probably going to affect possibly other people in the local area. So we need to go through that process, pick it up, move it. Once it's moved, we can get on. I mean, the great thing about it is we've just got 9 square metres more of space that we didn't think we were going to have. So I fully expect things to start moving fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now you've mentioned Busker's Corner, yeah. I might do a deal. If we make the playoffs, I'll busk, yeah, no, definitely outside. if we make the playoffs, no. I'll play, yeah, no, definitely on my own.
Yeah, is that this year or next year? Because we're going to win the league this year, we didn't.
Are we going up as champions?
If we make the playoffs. Dino's looking at that and
well,
thinking,
I
don't want to hear that again.
What a banger that was.
Yeah. No, it wasn't finished.
I'd be embarrassed to stand. There's no, being no illusion, I would be embarrassed to stand outside and play that now. So
Dino will have his own catchphrase by the end of the season anyway.
I keep listening to you, I will get a few.
You're only lucky when you know you're lucky. That is a cracker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just talk about Ben Kennedy?
Go on.
You looked a different player in pre-season. What have you done to him?
Well, we need to get back Ben Kennedy back to his best for us to achieve what we want to achieve. I think the Ben Kennedy that I left was totally different Ben Kennedy than what I came back to. And I just did that, really. I worked with him, not just in the training ground, really. Speaking to him, talking to him, understanding him, what he wants in life, what he wants in football, supporting him. I've told him, like the rest of them, I'm there to make them better players, to make them rich, hopefully. That's what I'm there for.
To make them rich. He'll need that because his life's about to change, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to have a baby in August, I think, and that will definitely change him. That could change all of us, I think.
Ben Kennedy strikes me as someone who needs a bit of tough love.
He
might like an arm around him, but he probably needs a kick up the arse.
He's a solid citizen, Kenneth. He's we had him when he was 17 years old, and he was a tough cookie. He stands up for himself. He got ability.
Bino looked after him for a while,
yeah,
didn't he?
I think he was a good kid, kind of, definitely a good kid, good at heart, without a shadow of a doubt. He lost his way in 3 years. You know, he shot up to not fame but to the first team very quickly, and I'm not sure what happened past 3-4 years, but he certainly was different. The Ben Kennedy that I left, he was different. I could have put any money on it, he would have gone for over £1 million back then. He didn't. He's gone back with 2-3 years. And it's my job now to put him back to how he was before, and hopefully kick on and make a good living out of himself, because he can push on, he can kick on, and he can play a high level without a shadow of a doubt.
What about some of these other youngsters? Arthur, obviously, and Johnny Koss, Mark
Arthur, 10 minutes. Got him. Nailed him. He's going to be good.
Well, he got the 10-minute rule. I've had Arthur last season, I think. I put him on the game against... A home game, he got a bloody nose within 2 minutes. He got an elbow in the face, and he carried on like nothing happened to him as a 17-year-old, or even he just turned 17. Mm. And nothing fazed him. I liked his character, I liked his personality. He can play, I can prove him as a player. And this is the important things for me. The character and the personality of the player is more important actually than the rest of it, because I back myself as a coach to make him a better player, technically. But I need that grit, that determination, that drive. When I see a young player, I want to see he got that. Has he got winning in him? If you got those ingredients, then the technical part of the game is the easy part.
Alex Ravel, you got down as obviously your vice captain. He's a player. I remember hearing you talk about him last year. You play you like him.
Yeah, I like Alex Ravel a lot. He's a top guy. He's the best thing I inherited in the club, I think. He inspired young players. He's top player, and he's got a massive part to play this season. And I think we're looking to have him at the club at this moment in time.
Dean's yet to be convinced about him. But,
no.
But
you got that so wrong. You got
well,
it so wrong.
I get where Dino's coming from, because I never worked with Alex Ravel before.
He had a quiet 20 minutes, and I just happened to say to Steve, he's gone quiet for 20 minutes. But I probably didn't say it like that. I probably said Revel's gone quiet. Oh, he just scores a goal. So, you know, sometimes you say things just off the top of your head and then you're never allowed to forget them.
And then he scored a second.
You must have been having a bad day, you know.
What happened to the 10-minute rule then? One question for you. Squad numbers, how do you allocate those?
Very late is how we allocate them.
I'll ask the players.
Do the players do it?
Yeah, I'll do some. I'll ask the players.
What do you do when you get past 10, though? Because they'd be struggling, wouldn't they, being footballers?
I'll ask the players. I like them to have a number they like.
I mean, obviously, number 6 is going to have been a... Is going to have been one, because that used to be Luke Wilkinson up until last season.
No, Wilkinson wanted number 31, I think.
Did he?
Is he 31, Wilkinson now?
30.
30.
Ben Nugent, 31.
Wilkinson wanted that number, and Ben Nugent wanted that number. So I give him the number of their numbers. He's not the rest of them. I'm easy with the players in terms of squad numbers. I'll ask them when I sign them, what number would you like? What's available, what number would you like? It's not a big deal, really. It makes sense.
Doesn't mean anything to you, it's just a number.
No, not really. It's as long as the player is comfortable with it. I'm there to make the player comfortable. I don't want them to wear a shirt they're not comfortable with the number. So that's what I do, really. I sign a player. What number do you not want to wear? And that's at least what I left over. So they pick the numbers.
And what happens when you get two come in and they say they want the same number? Fight. What do you do then?
Well, normally it never happened to me where I signed two players at the same time and they both wanted the same number at the same time as well. So that didn't happen, Steve. But if that happened, then...
Fight in the car park, if it does happen.
Arm wrestle or fight or whatever. So I'll give them the shirt, and whoever fight comes out of the room with the shirt, they take the shirt.
Yeah. I've got two serious questions for you. Number one.
I'm scared.
Gary the Goat. Is that a true story? Was that something you said?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And it was named after Gary Lineker?
Yeah, after Gary Lineker in 1986. He was.
Happy that's true. I thought it was something you said to get a laugh.
No, actually, the story just came out now. But my little boy Leo, I've been telling this story since he was two. And he loves goats, and every time we go back home, where's your goat, Daddy? And,
in the back garden.
it's a true story.
Is he, do you think you'd ever be able to get him a goat?
Well, I found out there is actually a pub near Nebworth where they have goats there.
Right. Is it
the Checkers? Yeah. I just found out, yeah.
So
I'm going to take him there, him and Maya, my little girl. I'm going to take them there and show them where you go.
Do you know what, though? You're going to be... Your boy is going to end up being more popular than you know, don't you?
Well, with the girls, certainly.
But wherever you are, he's not too far behind. He's an absolute cutie,
yeah,
isn't he?
I remember seeing him at that day at the Farmer tournament. Yeah, they're both lovely kids.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's all down to Amanda.
What if... remember Hereford used to have the ball?
Yeah.
They used to bring that on the pitch. Can we have a go? Because presumably, have we filled the Borough Bear vacancy yet?
I think it's been filled. I think there's nothing to do with Stephen.
I'd love to see the team captain walking out with Gary the Goat.
The Welsh rugby team come out with a goat.
Well, there you go. Two things I learned today.
Hang on, I haven't done my second question.
I thought that was two. Sorry.
No, that was a sub-question.
Right.
The second question is, I don't know if I've heard you speaking about it before, but it's important we bring it up because it's your most famous moment in the history of DNA memory of famous moments. That tackle. Southport v Rushton and Diamond.
Which one? I've met so many bad ones.
So you're the referee in that game playing for Southport and you go for that fella's knee from behind. If you see that as the ref, do you send you off for that? Or is that just a booking?
What have you got to remember back in those days?
I don't think there's any mitigation for
that. No, there isn't. Back in those days, and it used to be actually unspoken rules, the first tackle is always free, no matter what. And if you remember the Vinnie Jones, that's the era, isn't it? The 90s, where the first tackle is always free. Wherever you are, first tackle, you always get a yellow for it. And I think that's why the referee at the time got sucked in with the yellow card, because that's what they do back to the back.
Now, if you were to do that now, that's four or five red cards
in succession.
You probably wouldn't play again.
The game definitely changed.
And you'd be arrested after that.
You've never...
That's my favourite moment of yours. Every so often that video pops up, and I watch it every single time it pops out, and it never fails to make
sense. Does he not get up and tap him on the head?
So thanks for that. Yeah, he gets up like, I ain't touched him, ref.
that's the first time I've heard you talk about that, because normally you just shoo it away. But is that something that you regret? Or?
No, you can't have any regrets. Can you? No, it's just made you the man you are today.
You can't exactly sign. I don't know. Michael Timlin and say,
yeah, you see Tim's or James Ball doing that on Saturday afternoon, and they only pick up a yellow. What do you do after the game?
I find them 2 weeks' wages. In discipline. That's what you do, don't you?
Let's talk Barnet. No, we won't do that.
Right, yeah.
I learned something today.
Jesus
Christ. Barnet was good, though, wasn't it? That was a good, pure pantomime.
That's good, too. I think against Barnet, I scored about 8 or 9 goals. You know, the club that I scored against the most is Barnet. I was at Leon Amaya, I scored a hat-trick against them. I came to Steve and just scored 2, and then I scored 1, and then I scored another 2 against them. So I always scored against Barnet.
And none of those goals were your best moment at Barnet?
I think they were. I think on a Tuesday night, when Steven was second from bottom, my second game for the club, I think, we beat them 2-0. Who remember that night? Yeah, we were the year I just signed 2 weeks before that. And we were second from bottom. Wesley just came to the club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we beat them away Underhill 2-0. And I scored both of them. I had to beat them 2-0. That was the turning point. And then we went five wins on the bounce where we stayed safe. And then we finished the season 12.
Mm. Well, I have 2 memories of Barnet. One of them is one Barnet Council, when Jermaine Hunt was rolling around on the floor laughing. And the other one was Andy Woodman catching that ball when it was going about 14 yards wide and pushing it back into their striker in the 6-yard box to say they could beat us. That was a good moment.
I saw you talking about that on Twitter or something the other day.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite Andy Woodman moments.
Not bitter.
I learned today that Dino Mamria ended up in Glentoran and Ayr.
Yeah.
How do you end up in Glentoran two appearances for Ayr United in 1997-98?
Well, when I came to Burnley Football Club in 95 or 96, I've had a bad injury, obviously, and I was out for 18 months, I think. And it could be really easy for me to go back to Tunisia and go play for the top clubs there. But it wasn't in me, and I've fought very hard to get back fit. And then, to be fair, to Burnley Football Club at the time looked after me in terms of treatment, and not just that, they sent me out to Glentoran and sent me to Ayr United to get some match fitness and play. I actually nearly signed for Hearts, because when I played for those Ayr United, those 2 games, Haas came in for me, and Bob Scotland was so cold. I remember in December, and the flight weren't great.
You know, colder than Lee.
It was a lot colder. Scotland was different cold. It's very, very cold there. And then I came back, instead of signing for Haas, I ended up signing for Doncaster Rovers.
Mm. And it says here that you almost went to Cardiff after Doncaster.
Yeah, I had a great time at Doncaster, I think.
Top scorer?
Yeah, I was top scorer 2 seasons. Cardiff came in for me before deadline day, I think. Something happened, I think. They agreed fee, and then Doncaster put up the price for last minute or something like that, and that didn't happen. You know, those things happen in football, don't they? So.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wrap up. Alex, so what kind of message would you like to leave the fans with about what's going on and the season ahead?
Well, I think we're gearing up for Saturday. We've got what's going on, new kids are in place. We're about to launch a fans passport for the kids. So they'll be given a passport Saturday. They come along, and every game they come to, they're going to get a crest of the opposition. They'll collect them and they'll be rewarded at the end of the season. We've got Buses Corner, which Hollis is going to be hosting last game of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Can you name it after me?
If not you do it every got... game, I'll name it after you, all right?
Hollis is Buses Corner. Okay,
yeah, I've been for 3 weeks. You know, things are going to take a little bit of time to start coming to fruition. There'll be some instant stuff, and there'll be some bigger stuff over there. But I think that the key message is these guys done a fantastic job in the summer. The product on the pitch looks very exciting. And
No pressure there,
Dino. It's £15 down the terrace. You know, the price is £15. What can you get in Stevens for £15? You can't even get 2 decent meals at Cromwell.
That's
so
we haven't mentioned that.
So yeah, I mean, £15. If you look at it, Stevens is a £20 town. You've got £20 in the back pocket. We can do Saturday afternoon. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go down to football. I'm going to get a couple of pints, and that's the market. Let's make it accessible. Let's make it value for money. And you know, I think we need to be different. There's lots of clubs on our doorstep. There's a new 62,000 seat stadium open down the road. Let's try and be a bit different. Let's offer real football to the real people of the town.
Dino, what's your message for the fans?
Well, my message, I think, to the fans and to the players today as well. I had to meet you, the players today. It's a journey. I think there is always up and down season. I think really not. Let's not get stuck for this Saturday's game. It's not everything. This Saturday would not dictate how we're going to end up at the end of the season. It's winning this process. You got to instill winning habits throughout the team, and then do those habits day in, day out, and then you'll end up where you are at the end of the season at the back of those habits. It's take it one game at a time. Let's focus on us, what we do best, and on the pitch, on the day, we can beat anybody. And I've got to make sure, and I will make sure, that every game, those 18 players, I give them a shirt, they will fight for that shirt. That is like it's the last game, their lives depends on it. And that's what we're seeing about. We've got to overachieve, and we've got to do it different, and we'll do that.
And you two guys, so anything to add on that?
No. No, not at all, really, because I believe and trust in these two. Alex has probably got the more difficult job with juggling the chairman and the manager. Although he's got a hotline to Dino, hasn't he?
Should we call Dino back in a month and have a chat then?
As soon as it was announced that Darren had left us, there's only one guy I wanted in charge. I think I made it quite clear, because he knows what winning is, and he will put a different style and football in, and it will be exciting, it will be energetic, and those players will be thinking differently to anything that they thought about last season if they were here last season, and the new ones that are going to come in with that mindset of his energy and enthusiasm. So nothing can go wrong.
Famous last word. I've
got something that we need to talk about, and that Dean and Steve are too modest to bring up, and I know, Dino, you've got a view on this. You you two guys, you want to talk about the fact you're moving on? All of a sudden, you've outgrown three men and a microphone in a small room at David Lloyd, in the offices at the club.
Not at all.
All these places we've been to, and basically, so what you want to? You've got your own radio show now.
Nothing to do with. I was out of the country, and it's all happened.
I don't want to oversell it. You've got an internet radio show. Now, I know how I'd sell it if I was going to. If I was going to be promoting...
The problem is, honestly, they can't sell it because it's a free
radio show. Yeah. I know how I'd sell it. I know what my tagline would be if I was in charge of sports scene on SG1 radio.
He's like, why are you offering me free coffee and free food?
So do you want to talk us through it? For me, it's a load of old toffee with the best bit removed.
Well, I'm not sure Jamie Trackford would agree.
explain to our listener why you've decided to take on a radio show without me. Well, and replace me. And don't get me wrong, it's a solid replacement. And
right, let's Jay Trackford
is as good a replacement as I could have chosen him myself.
If we're allowed to get a word in edgeways, you've asked the question.
But
let's answer.
But you've and I'm not hurt.
you were asked to take part in it as well. But you've kind of.
He's too busy, isn't he?
Declined. You're too busy because you've got your own project coming up. So maybe we'll talk about that in 2 years' time when we do the next Allude. But no, which all it is, Jay Drakeford, who everybody knows is the match day announcer at Stevenage, has been talking to SG1 Radio, which is online, about setting up a sports show, and it will be a local sports show, and that's.
Yeah, the great thing is Dino's mum can listen in Tunisia, so there you go. She can download.
That sounds good to me, doesn't it?
And she can listen.
But yeah, I'm sure she understands all English. So.
how do you feel about it, Dino? These two on live radio. You haven't done a great job of selling it. When is it? When does it start? When are you on air?
Well, I feel like they're taking advantage of me. They invited me last week.
for free meal and free coffee, and they threw it at me.
Will you get a meal?
Yeah, I've got fish and chips. And then at the end of the evening, they put it across to me. I thought, oh, this is all this about. And I'm thinking, they've just been nice to me. And obviously, they're asking for Joe Byron to be presenter with them.
Give it a couple of weeks. We might not want you.
How many meals have you had out of the Comet so far?
None.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like you said, get your wallet out.
Radio starts on August the 8th.
Wednesday
8
night.
8 till 9.
9 till 10.
9 till 10.
Past your bedtime.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday
night, 9 till 10.
And we will be getting guests and we will be talking all local
stuff. The great thing is people can call in. This is going to be a party phone. It's a proper job, isn't it? It's like old Toffee, but done better.
What I'd like to add is I would love to see some ex-Stevenage players involved in this show as guests, because there's some great stories and I think that will keep everyone gripped, including me. I'll listen to it as well.
Well, hopefully we'll have some current Stevenage players as well, if you allow us to.
I think there's nothing wrong with the past ones as well. I think it'll be fantastic, I think, for the fans to, they will connect with some of those players. They created history for us, and I think it'll be brilliant for them, you know, to have something where I want to actually add to the football club. Sorry, we're going on a little bit more too much about. There is one thing that I will speak to Alex about, is we don't have any Forex players take any part in what we do, on match day, on anything, and I really, really...
It's one thing you had at Newport, wasn't it?
I think every football club, and we've got great history, Stevenage. We had a lot of successful teams, a lot of successful players. And I was talking to George Boyd not long ago, and he never came back since he left. Mm. And it's a real shame, and I'm talking George Boyd, could be anybody. We had so many great players over the years. Mm. And it'd be brilliant for just even a half time. They come in for a draw, or they come in for something. I think we need to make them. They see care. I see got a WhatsApp chat from our 2010 conference winning team. We still talk to each other every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
So those people care about the football club. They always follow. They send me messages all the time, and you know they do care about the football club genuinely. And as a football club, I think we almost leave them behind.
Mm.
And I think that's where I think I want them to be. You know, with us all the time, because they are with us.
Absolutely, and I think it's something that we've spoken about as well, Alex, and I think, you know, that's something that's with your help and, you know, with the people we know, I think we can get that.
I think it goes back to the North Stand, you know, that space that gives us that platform to bring the old players in, do the Q&As, might be looking for a host. If you're available, I'll be made redundant. You'll be banging drums somewhere.
I think it'd be a fantastic idea. I think a lot of this. I see the fans every day, and I think they always ask about the ex players. They were well connected with the football club, like Alex says earlier.
People love talking to you, don't they? You can't go anywhere without here tonight, outside. Those guys come up to you.
And that's just me. I think that a lot of people talk to the ex-players without a shadow of a doubt. They all love those players. They put everything into the football club. And I think it's really, we should bring them back, you know, at least for our fans.
Yeah. Alex, get it done, son. That's the instruction there.
And if you can find me Gary Holloway, so I can give him a little cuddle in the car park, that'd be good.
Okay. With that, I think that's time, gents, before the little red light goes out on our machine. Alex Tunbridge, thank you very much. Dino Maria, good luck for the season.
Thank you very much.
Dean Thompson and Mark Hollis.
Thanks, mate.
Until the next time.
Well done, Steve.
It's been emotional.
A load of old Toffee.